if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Transformation into the New Era and Our Prescripted Roles. So, if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together and connect to that divine self. Evoke and call yourself forward into direct alignment with your highest divine self. Let's take another deep breath and do that. You'll notice hot chills going all through your body. Hot chills. Whew. Wow. As that energy integrates, and those high electronic spins of your higher vehicles begin to integrate into your physical electrons, which is what gives that heat, because your physical electrons have to be brought up to speed to match the vibration of your higher divine selves. Let's say you have the monadic self, divine Atma itself, and then you have its soul presentation, and that is where we usually identify as the higher or the true self. But the integration of those levels is what we know of as self-realization or God-realization. When you realize that you are not the body, you are not the emotions, you are not the basic self, you are not the ego, you are not your history, you are not your physical gender, you are not your conditioning, none of that. You are indistinguishable from God. Ever pure, ever perfect, untouched by your passage through the dream fields of time, space, and becoming. So I want you to sense something really wonderful. I want you to register it very consciously. I want you to be aware of the group that surrounds you right now. Sense the masters, angels, teachers, guides, your friends, your benefactors, not just from this incarnation, but all of your incarnations throughout time and beyond. You have a group of co-workers that are with you all the time. They're your group, your pod mates, so to speak. Life after life. You have the master whose ray you have emanated from that has fostered you from your very inception into human form, and probably before you came into human form. Be aware that you are never alone. This morning I had that experience myself. I was having my God talk and praying and conversing with the beloveds with whom I work, and all of a sudden my room was filled with the presences. It was thick, absolutely thick. And the love that was emanating from them was overpowering. And they asked me what I saw was most important to address in our world situation right now. They wanted my input. And I talked to them for quite a while, addressing the different things that I thought was the most important to be addressed. And I would suggest that perhaps you might want to do the same thing. Put yourself in the position as a member of the spiritual brother and sisterhood of light. And give your input and your feedback as a working member of this universal group in which you stand. And let's together sound the Om, and we're going to do it in three ways. Out loud one time, which anchors it physically. Whispered the second time, which anchors it astrally. And silently in the mind, which anchors it mentally. You ready? Deep breath. And you're connected. We're all here. We are all here. All of us are here. We're either functioning in incarnated physical bodies, densified astral bodies, or functioning in other vehicles on the other dimensions. But we're all here. Inwardly, outwardly, we're doing the same work. All groups, all teachers, all teachings are sponsored by the same group of masters under the guidance of the great Lord, whom we in the West call the Christ, whom those in the East call the Buddha, whom those in India call Mahavishnu, or Shiva, or Brahman. So you see, we're all doing the same thing. We just call it by different names, depending upon our cultural heritage. Now I'm going to say the mantram of the new group of world servers in which we take our stand as servants of humanity in the name of the Great Lord. And I will pause after each statement so you can say it to yourself if you like. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to heal, not hurt. I seek to serve and not exact due service. Let the soul control the outer form and all events. And bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the times. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate. And outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. May all men love. And that, beloveds, is our mantra that we as a collective group of world servers in tone and live by. So we are in the cycle of transformation into the new era, and we have pre-scripted roles. We've all been called to incarnate at this very time. We have a job to do. What is that job? We are to usher in an entirely new paradigm, the seventh golden age, the Satya Yuga, the age of truth. We are to anchor heaven on earth, which means that we embody the soul. That's how we bring heaven into the earthly form that we occupy. When we do that collectively, we anchor it upon the earth. So first, our task is to integrate and bring that soulific energy down into the human personality and fully occupy the light and love and divine sound current that we are embodiments of, bringing every facet of our personality to serve the purposes of the soul. The soul, you see, is group conscious. We're moving from the egocentric state of me and mine into the soul's point of view, which is we and ours. So we're moving from that personal self-preoccupation that's involved in all the little petty things, which 10 years from now you're not even going to remember, probably even less. John Roger refers to our human life and its dramas as the 10% level that we are responsible for handling and managing. He refers to the greater spiritual life as the 90% level, in which we live as divine beings. But communicating that down into the physical brain requires some real intentionality on our part and meditation. Without meditation, without taking that time to connect with those levels within us and bridge the lower mind up into the higher mind or buddhi, we don't have that inner instrument to connect the dots spiritually into the physical body on a conscious level. And what we want, as we spoke last week, we want conscious mediators, those who can mediate all of the four kingdoms of nature, humanity being the fourth kingdom, which is the bridging kingdom, between the third kingdom, the animal, and the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of souls. We're bridges. That's how this higher divine era that is now to manifest is going to manifest, through human effort, human hands and feet. I want to save you some time because a lot of people are being distracted by what they're seeing on the news. They're misinterpreting what they're seeing. And in many cases, they are triggering past recall of times and previous eras in which there was, let's say, previous extinction events. Previous catastrophic destruction, like in the times of Atlantis, and before that, Lemuria. And what they are looking at, actually, as it's been shown to me, is discontinuous momentums that have been discontinued, but are still being fed thought forms by people who are buying into the doom and gloom prophecies and scenarios. The information I'm being given to share with you completely bypasses any of that and simply says that's past. That's past. People are tapping into their own subconscious memories of previous times. Long ago, maybe they have unfinished karma in those areas, in those universes, in those galactic systems, which is why probably they're trying to reconcile in some form within themselves the discomfort and the fear that these times seem to generate. Granted, they are similar in some respects to previous ages, but have been strongly impressed to communicate to you that that is not going to happen this time. Everything has been changed. Divine intervention has entered the scene. Different outcomes are now being worked out. The end of Armageddon, according to the Master Moria, who communicated this to the great Helena Rurik, his disciple, he told her in 1949 that on October 17th, 1949, Armageddon ended. At that time, the Dark Lodge and its Dark Hierophant were driven out of our solar system, and his entire kingdom of darkness collapsed. With nothing to feed it and fuel it, it gradually lost energy. Now, what
might appear as negativity. We see that on the physical plane now. With the rampant hatred and warring and terrorism, what happens is that the dark minions that were part of this, let's say, dark lodge intent to bring destruction and to prevent the dawning of the golden age, it can still find entrance into unrepentant hearts and minds that have not yet come out of darkness into the light, which has to be a choice. And so you still have these vestiges of people who look like they are willfully evil, which would be with the intention to kill, rob, destroy, work deceit. But in basic bottom line, those who have an intention to hurt and harm another would be darkly motivated. But again, October 17th, 1949, Armageddon ended, according to the Master Moria. Now, 1938-1939 was the beginning of Armageddon and its descent from the astral plane, where it had been warring for eons, into the physical plane. In 1943, it was touch and go. September 14th, it was touch and go. 1943. The old Atlantean warlords were fighting, and it almost looked like they were going to win when the great lord Sanat Kumara from Shambhala issued the edict that certain power could be released to the Allied forces. And with the release of that power under his direct administration, the Allied forces won. So it's not hard to imagine who the agent of the Dark Hierophant, or the Dark Hierophant himself, was. You have the Second World War as the Armageddon. But to the masters, they lump the First and the Second World Wars as one war. And no, we will not have a Third World War. Direct from the Master, the Masters, the Great Lord, and the great cosmic avatar, Satya Sai Baba. So now you can put that aside and quit storing up your beans and your whatevers and begin to live life and build, not with an eye to destruction and fearful things to come, but begin to participate in what you've incarnated to do. In 1945, the great Lord, whom we in the West refer to as the Christ, and other cultures call him by different names, so don't get confused. But the great Lord hadn't decided yet if he was going to physically embody or overlight a disciple, which is the way usually the masters work. They usually overlight an existing initiate and disciple in the physical plane, or they sometimes occupy the vehicle of a trusted initiate and disciple, and in that way they're able to work and bring forward whatever is necessary at the time. However, the evocative cry of humanity and its suffering during the Second World War actually caused the Great Lord to make a decision to come physically back into incarnation. previously to that, he had been working to overlight the vehicle of Jiddu Krishnamurti, whom some of you may be familiar with. But then he decided to come himself. And so the great Lord entered the modern world in 1977 and took up residence in London, where he resides at this time. He is to be followed by some 40 of the 63 masters of wisdom who supervise the earthly evolution and the matriculation of souls through the initiatory process. There are now about half of those masters living openly in the outer world, known by some people, and eventually will be known by all people as soon as the great Lord announces himself. He must be recognized, or he will not announce himself. He must be recognized and called forward. That's the duty of the media and those of us who have had direct experiences with him, I being one. I was drawn into his physical presence, summoned by him, in 2000 while I was living during that year in London. I have had before and since 7 or 8 different encounters with him, under a variety of guises. I've also had direct contact with one of the other masters, this one in this case living in Rome. And perhaps some of you have as well. I'm just saying that I have to speak the truth as I've experienced it, as I know it, and as I'm being guided to share it with you. What you see right now on the physical plane are momentums that have already been spent, and you're seeing the last turning, as it were, of the blades of the fan. Already the electricity's been pulled. You're just seeing the last little bit of froth and foam washing up on the shores. It's a clash, basically, of the old energies and the new. Obsolete ideologies and worldviews that are not goal-worthy or goal-fitting to enter into the new paradigm. They're the old fossils, the old crystallized thought forms that will have to give way to the new energy and are and will continue to do so. Because our future will bear no resemblance to what we have going on right now. There will be a shifting of the entire energy field and with it the entire grid that holds a particular thought system or a particular worldview or a particular civilization intact. Everything is on a grid, and the grid will shift to a new sacred geometric configuration, a triangle. It's been square. It will now move into triangles. Some of you have been part of the triangle meditation movement, such as I have been, starting way back in the late 50s, early 60s, whenever. But we used to do triangle meditations and envision the new grid, which is now completed. So you've already been chosen and prepared for your role. Sai Baba said, thousands of lifetimes ago, you have been prepared for today. Today is huge. It's a big deal. We're moving out of one civilization, one worldview, one sub-race into the next root race, into the new consciousness, into the golden age, the seventh golden age, into what the Native Americans call the fifth world. Some of them call it the fourth world, same thing. whatever you call it, it's a refurbished, renewed, beautiful, lush, gorgeous new earth that doesn't have a vestige of pollution. You know, all of the ugliness that we have made of nature and done to nature, all of that is displaced with the shifting of the grids. So we're already trained and prepared. And according to Sai Baba, we are perfect diamonds. We do not have to do anything but just jettison every single bit of doubt and fear and hesitation and second guessing and all of that. Just drop it. You are an instrument in the hands of the great Lord. You don't tell the great Lord when to pick up and use the instrument or how to use it. He alone knows the timing. He alone has equipped you with exactly what he wants to express through you. Your particular job is unique to you. How he will use you is unique. And only he knows what he has prepared and prescripted for you to enact. So, what do you do? Well, begin with being aware that you're part of this greater group. Begin to be aware that you're always connected to God and get in that connection consciously. The Lord said long ago, my sheep hear my voice. Well, guess what? If you're not hearing the Lord's guidance within you, in your heart, in your mind, in your intuition, in your conscience, you're just not taking time to be quiet and listen. He's always talking. And some of you, like myself, talk with quite a few of the masters. You know, we walk as a great group. We're co-workers. We're all servants of the Most High. And no matter who you are or where you are in the stage of initiation or illumination, you always have an upline. In Sanskrit, this is called parampara. We have an upline, a lineage of masters who stand with us and sponsor us into this world and into the divine service that we've been called to perform. We don't work alone. The soul always functions as a group. And with the Aquarian Age too, we do not have the focus on the individual anymore. The focus of the masters is upon the group and groups. And so initiation as well is undergone in groups now, even though you may have had one from a teacher or a master. Nevertheless, the bigger initiations are conducted in group formation. And then perhaps you have a teacher on the physical plane that anchors it so that you're conscious of it here in the physical. So, we've already agreed and made our commitment to serve at this time way before we incarnated. And so we can absolutely trust he who sent us, but also he who dwells within us. You could say the soul, the divine self that you truly are. You can absolutely trust that. That's real self-confidence with a capital S. So God's will is being manifested through human instruments, by human hands and feet. The golden age, God's kingdom come, God's will being done and manifesting on earth. So we are the vanguard of a new beginning on earth, a new era. While anything of the past is superseded and taken over, so that the things of the past aren't totally destroyed, what happens is that they're lost sight of. The new incoming energy is simply, like Jesus used the example of the mustard seed. He said the kingdom of heaven proceeds like the mustard seed. Mustard seed is real teensy tiny, but it takes over everything when it grows. It just takes over, spreads everywhere. And Jesus used that analogy with the kingdom of God, that it's like a mustard seed. And so in a sense, we are the mustard seed sowers of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of God, of the new era, the golden age, whatever you want to call it. And that's what we're doing. We're sowing seeds of light, of benevolence, of sharing, of caring, of compassion, and practical seat of the pants and soles of the feet, boots on the ground, service. We're all called to participate at the level of our expertise, our talent, our training, where we've been placed in life, our arena in which we find ourselves. We're to serve there. When you've outgrown that arena, you'll find yourself extruded into another larger arena. So what happens is that you keep expanding your capacity. You keep expanding. You might say, well, how do I know that I found my group? You know it because you fit. You absolutely fit. And it's easy. It's no effort. It supports your beingness and celebrates your difference. Because the one major, I would say, key that governs all of the spiritual masters is the principle of unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. So you will witness in every ashramic group, which would be an ashram, would be a school or group of consciousness gathered around a particular master, you will see that there are people within every master's ashram and group that are at different levels of initiation, different levels of consciousness, different diverse giftings, natures, all mixed up, all different. Because overall, that group sounds a harmonic chord. And it takes all the individual notes to bring that harmonious chord. So you never find a group where everybody's at the same level, sounding the same chord. That'd be crazy. So you consider these groups on a sound current level as sounding like a chorus. We're like a chorus that sounds a particular keynote, which translates as a particular form of service on the physical plane. I also want you to bear in mind that within every single body and group on the planet, there are masters and high initiates working. The field of politics, the field of economics, the field of entertainment, the field of science, the field of artistic expression, field of religion. If I left any out, pin it in. Because what we're saying is that in every group of people, including those that you call the cabal, or that you call the Illuminati, or that you call the, what, secret government, you know, all those terms that people coin to try to identify the bad guys. Yeah, well, within those groups, you're going to have some very bright lights, very bright initiates. There is no place you can go, no group that you could go today on the planet that you will not find the emissaries of light, many times working undercover. But their very presence begins to dissolve the negativity, begins to transmute, begins to transform. And so there's no place that we need to shun or omit when it comes to our service. We are quite definitely placed exactly in the arena that matches our soul's mission, our soul's commission, our soul's natural vehicle of manifesting itself. So your entire life is a work of art. The art of living is an art in itself. And your life is a masterpiece, a masterpiece that the master painter has painted to reflect the glory of divinity that you actually host in your body. You are a walking temple. You are the Church of Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the bread of life. You are the living word. You are the word sent forth that the Lord called his only begotten Son. And that word was and is love. And you are each an incarnation of God's love, sounding your own very unique note, emitting your own unique flavor and essence and scent that is unique to you in all of the cosmos. And it says in the scriptures that the morning stars shall sing together the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Oh, what deep, deep levels of understanding if you can grasp that. You need to meditate and contemplate. What is this song of Moses and the song of the Lamb that we shall chorus together? Is it not the wedding of that which has been birthed of law and the new day that is being birthed of grace? Is it not awakening as the beloved that we truly are? For you to decide. You see, we cannot be told these things. We have to intuit them for ourselves. We give you keys each week. But you have to work the key and unlock the areas in your own treasure trove. Treasure trove of wisdom. These things must be called forward into the light of your conscious awareness. So, we are moving into a new era. unlike anything in our past. Can you even imagine in your wildest? Well, it says in the Bible, eye has not seen, nor has the mind of man imagined what God has prepared for him. We can't even imagine, can we? So those of you who are worried about, oh gosh, the ego is so into drama, it's so into creating things that create fear. Can you just recognize that fear is false evidence appearing real? And just quietly set it aside and walk in the light of trust and faith with an open heart and absolute confidence in the Lord. Call the Lord by any name. Visualize the Lord in any form. It does not matter. There is one Lord, ultimately one supreme it of itself. And we are all rays of that, identical to the source, like the rays of the sun are identical to the sun, or the waves in the sea are identical to the sea. Use whatever analogies work for you. But realize that you are heaven-born, heaven-extended, heaven-sent, heaven-indwelt, highly favored, greatly blessed, and completely anointed and appointed for this hour. The Lord will work miracles through you, because miracles always follow those who walk in His Spirit. The greatest miracle is to be born again of Spirit, so that the old man puts on the new and rises to eternal life out of the tomb of materiality and material identification. You begin to walk as a son of God. S-U-N-S-O-N. In other words, when we use the male term, we mean proactive light. The material world is feminine in nature. It receives. It receives. But you are being called forward to be led of the Spirit. And those who are led of the Spirit, who know God in truth and in spirit, are the sons of God. The proactive light and love of Source. And in that we will bypass the technologies which have basically crippled us spiritually. They will not be present in this new era. Do not worry. There will not be artificial intelligence. There will not be the takeover of the robots. There most certainly will not be a godless world, because God is living in our midst. It says in the very scriptures that God will dwell in the midst of His people, and all the nations will come and worship Him in one voice. That scripture has already been fulfilled, by the way, and is being fulfilled every day. Those of you who can intuit what I'm saying know what I'm talking about. But again, the Lord has to be recognized by each one of us individually. Otherwise, it's some sort of mind control, some sort of hypnotic suggestion that violates the free will of each person to decide for themselves what is real and true and what they will accept and they won't accept. So even though our divine roles are prescripted, we still have free will. Sai Baba said, we have about as much free will in the physical body as a donkey tied to a tree, because mainly the free will is exercised before you incarnate. But I would say you have a choice as to how you're going to respond or not to an invitation. In other words, you may very well have a very pleasurable invitation, but for some reason you're in a bad mood and decide you don't want to go. And then you find out later on you really miss something that you really wished you hadn't. So you have little variations and choices within, you know, those little details that show up in our life every day. And it's not that we go on autopilot and we just, you know, willy-nilly go anywhere and do everything. No, you have to use your common sense. You have to discern the fruits of the people that you would associate with. You have to really look for the fruit in the people that you elect into office, in the people that you keep company with, in the organizations and the teachings and the things that you're involved with. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, tolerance, in other words, faithfulness, self-control, goodness, kindness. Nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. Be a fruit inspector, for by their fruits you shall know them. Dark energy never produces good works. Never. The fruit of dark energy is discord, dissent, division, destruction, confusion, hatred, vengeance, grievance. But I would say primarily it builds walls and creates separation, sets people against one another. That is the fruit of dark energy. So to each his own. Discern by the Spirit what you will partake of, what you will take into your energy field. And realize that the greatest hunger on our planet today, people are literally starving to death for spiritual nourishment. I had a person tell me one time in a reading that she said to me, you always know how to keep your soul well nourished. And it's true, I have. Since I was a little girl, I've always known how to nourish and replenish myself spiritually. It came in with me in this lifetime. So do the things that feed your spirit. If you do good works, if you follow through on your intention, if you complete the things that you say you're going to do, if you keep your word, if you speak the truth, if you go forth with a heart that's open and kind, that's full of compassion and understanding for other people, in a spirit of goodwill, you're going to have self-esteem. You're going to like yourself. You're going to have your own favor and that of everyone that you cross paths with. Because what you are speaks more loudly than anything you say with your mouth. What you are communicates to the entirety of the universe. So sow good seeds if you would have a sense of happiness and well-being and fulfillment. Overcome addictive patterns that don't serve you, that take you down the wrong path. You know what they are. Ask the great Lord for the strength to overcome them. Or sometimes he's just so kind, he just takes them away anyway. But give your life lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord. Turn it over. Use me, Lord. And then start acting usefully. Start acting usefully. Look around. Everywhere you look, people are suffering. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. But the basic cause of all the suffering is misidentifying themselves with the form rather than the spirit, with the world rather than the spirit, with the things of the world rather than the things of spirit. So you're addressing on every front basically ignorance, which is the root of all suffering, ignorance of the self. Who are you? Underneath all of that stuff that you've labeled yourself with and identified yourself with, who are you? Sai Baba says that we're three people. The one we think we are, the body. The one other people think we are, the mind. And the one we truly are, the Atma, spirit, God. So we are here to prepare the world for the advent of the Lord in the form of Prema Sai Baba. I have seen him in a dream, a night vision, beautiful beyond anything I could possibly say. Looks like a young Christ. People will take him to be the Christ, will take him to be Jesus. I have no doubt about that. Because he looks very much like the Master Jesus, although the Master Jesus is not Prema Sai Baba. Master Jesus is here, living outside of Rome. He's done his mission. He will also support the work of Prema Sai Baba. Prema Sai Baba is an avatar, the third in the three Sai Baba incarnations. Some say he was born in 2012 and is now about 6 years old. There again, we have to watch, discern, and make our own mind up. But the thing of it is, the world that he will preside over is devoid of every single negative thing. No money, no politics. No walls, no divisions, nothing but love. Sai Baba said it will be a world completely devoid of crime and evil, and only love. Prema means love. So now ashrams are being built throughout the planet for Prema Sai Baba. And hospitals and schools and educational complexes all over the world. That's proof that there's not going to be global destruction. That's proof that we're going to actually live in the age when the masters walk openly, the Christ is amongst us, the Master Jesus, the other masters, and we're going to see Prema Sai Baba, who will not come forward as a guru. It's hard to say how he will manifest, but it's said that he will marry and have a son. So we would probably see a divine householder living a perfectly divine life like Lord Rama did in the last golden age. In the last golden age, Lord Rama lived as the ideal king, the ideal husband, the ideal magistrate, the ideal renunciate. He embodied the ideal along with his wife Sita in every area of life. And so like that, we will see probably Prema Sai Baba embodying the ideal. And gosh, we're here with a front row seat. You youngsters will be most definitely part of his crew. And some of us, I believe, will not see death, but we will raise our vibrations and walk in bodies of light, or maybe densified astral bodies. But we will walk with Prema Sai Baba and be his instruments to manifest the glory of God. The scriptures say that the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That, beloveds, is our heritage. That's where we are right now. That's what we're doing. So take heart and dive in and immerse yourself in the presence of the Lord and in serving and loving all of creation, all people, and all creatures. So raise your hands and give a benediction to this planet. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy, healthy, at peace, and awaken to the divine love that they are each embodiments of. And we'll go out chanting on I, you, 3 times. Deep breath.
On I, you. On I, you.
Blessings and grace to each one of you. Namaste.